Blog Talk Radio. I got it.
In darkness night, you are cold like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God.
Thank you. I'll say, God, you're so good. Thank you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We believe you for it. Whatever we need, We believe you for it. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day, for this morning. Lord, we come with you with a heart, come to you with a heart of repentance. We ask your forgiveness for every thought, every word, every deed, every action, Lord. Lord, we ask you to look beyond our faults and see our needs. Father, we ask you this morning that you do not condemn us for our actions, but that you extend to us your unyielding love, your mercy, and your grace. Allow us to enter into your marvelous light this day. God, we are not just asking for ourselves, but we are asking for the world. Lord, even for those that don't know you as Lord and Savior, we ask you to draw them to you. Lord, even draw us closer, for the enemy desire to sift us like wheat. Father, we lift up Brother Javon Grant this morning to you. And Lord, we ask you to rescue that young man. Satan desired to take him out. But Father, you're the same God that reached out and put a hedge of protection around Job, that Satan could test him, try him. Try him like gold in the fiery furnace, in the melting pot. But Satan could not touch Job. We ask you today to protect Javon Grant and all those who are being attacked in their mind, all those who Satan want to drive crazy this morning. Lord, we pray for Bishop James Washington this morning. And we ask you, Father, to continue healing him. You have begun a good work in him. And Father, according to your word, I believe, I know that you are faithful to complete it. Lord, we pray for extension of years to his life. Not only extension of years to his life, but that you would strengthen his body, Lord. We pray for Apostle Minnie Jefferson, our sister in Christ. We ask for strength in her body. And Lord, we ask you to draw her back to her position, her place in this ministry. Lord, she is called to be a watchman on this Blog Talk Church line. Doesn't matter what anyone say or do, she's called to be a watchman here. And Father, we ask you to strengthen her and give her the desire, the hunger to come and teach and preach. Father, we ask you to rest your hand upon this word today. And Lord, even as you rest your hand through my hand on this word today, allow me to hear, allow me to see, allow me to do what you call me to do today. And Father, we pray that the word that go forth today, that it would not return void. We declare and we decree that this word would accomplish what we send it out to do. In the mighty name of Jesus, someone will be saved today. Someone will be delivered today. Someone will be restored today. Some marriages will be healed today. Oh, Father, according to the word, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Oh, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. We pray today that, Father, that you would accept all that flows through me from you. Lord, it is yours, not mine. It's coming from you to me. And we ask, oh God, that you accept it as I release it as a sacrifice back to you and to your people, oh God. Touch their ears that they might hear. Touch their eyes that they might see this word in Jesus' name. So we are talking today on the subject matter there is No one is worthy but Yahusha. No one is worthy but Yahusha. Hallelujah. Let's go to the word of God. We have prayed. We have blessed the word today. Let's go into the book of Revelation chapter 4. Then we'll go to chapter 5. We'll go some other places. Here in the book of Revelation chapter 4, we are, John is looking into the throne room. The apostle John is looking into the throne room, and there's a lot of activities that is taking place in the throne room. Do you hear me this morning? God allowed John, the apostle, to look, take a look, a snapshot, as you would say, of the throne room, so that you and I today, thousands of years after, can have just a glimpse through the mindset of John of what the throne room looked like. Here he says, chapter 4, verse 1. We're going to read all the verses of chapter 4, which is about 8 verses. He said, after these things, I looked and behold an open door in heaven. Now, I want you to understand this. John is not physically in heaven. John is on the isle called Patmos. He is put there to die on Patmos because they couldn't kill him. They tried to kill him in a pot of oil, and the oil could not take his life. So they put him on this island, stranded. No cooking utensils, no house, no food, and he was supposed to either make it or break it. But while he is in there, he has a visitation from heaven, the angel of the Lord. Come and deliver the message. Allow him to see into heaven to write this book. All that he see or saw, he was to pen down. For your understanding and my understanding. So we are saying today, after these things, I look, John, look. And behold, an open door in heaven, and the former voice that I had heard like a trumpet speaking with me was saying, come up here or come up thither, and I will show you the things which must take place after these things. John is hearing a voice that he heard before. John recognized the voice, and the voice said to come up thither or come up here, come up closer. John is in the spirit. You have a lot of preachers today saying, and they're arguing with each other that we don't see anything and hear anything in the spirit. They're saying that all we have to do is focus on the word of God, the Bible. And that's good. But the Bible also says that he is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So if he allowed John, the apostle, to see in the spirit, by the spirit, it's a possibility that if we are living right, that God would allow us to see some things, not all things, but some things in the spirit. The Bible says that immediately, John is speaking, immediately I was in the spirit, and behold a throne room set in heaven, and one was seated on the throne, and immediately, suddenly, it wasn't in a process of time. John is telling you this. He said, immediately, That means it happened quick, quicker than quick. He was in the spirit. And he was able to see the throne room of heaven. In other words, he was able to see the dwelling place, the holy place of God in the spirit. What an amazing sight that must have been to be able to see into God's place. He says he saw someone sitting on the throne. He said, and the one seated was similar in appearance to jasper and carnelian stone. And a rainbow was around the throne, similar in appearance to emerald. It had so many different colors, this rainbow. We know that in the time with Noah and the flood and how God destroyed the world, and after the flood, the rainbow appeared in heaven with many colors. And it's so sad that how the homosexuals and the lesbians and all of these people that live in a sinful lifestyle would use something that is so good, that God has placed as a promise, a remembrance to us. When we look, we can say, yes, God promised he would not destroy this world again by water. We can even get to the place that says that God says he'll burn up the world, destroy it because of sin. So we will repent and say we don't want to be burned up. They use the symbol of God's promise for their glory. The homosexuals, the lesbians. But John saw this sign, this symbol of all these colors surrounding the throne. He's looking into the throne room in the spirit. Verse 4 says, and around the throne were 24 thrones. And seated on the thrones were 24 elders dressed in white clothing. You can say that these were the 24 elders according to the word of God. We would say that these represent the 12 tribes and the 12 apostles. 24 elders. Glory to God, as we look into this word and seeing the Holy Spirit showing us what he's showing us this morning, we see that they are clothed in this white clothing, represent righteousness, and on their heads were gold crowns. And from the throne came out lightnings and sounds of thunders. And seven torches of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. This is an anointed occasion. A very powerful occasion that John is seeing. He's observing. But John is not talking because this appearance of this glorious place that he's seeing in the spirit. He is dumbfounded. He can't talk. He's like a shock. He's in shock even though he's amazed of the glorious colors and the form of the lights and stuff that he is seeing. John is excited, but he can't speak. See, before the throne was something like a sea of glass, like crystal, and in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures, full of eyes in front and in back. The book of Ezekiel speaks about this. But in the book of Ezekiel, they only have eyes one place, around the wheels. But here in this book, they have eyes in the front and in the back. Glory to God. In Daniel, they only have eyes one place. This is a glorious occasion, a very powerful occasion. John is seeing this in the spirit. And the first living creature was similar to a lion, and the second living creature was similar to an ox, and the third living creature had a face like a man, and the fourth living creature was similar to an eagle flying. And the four living creatures, each one of them had six wings apiece, full of eyes around and inside. And they do not have rest day or night, saying, holy, holy is the Lord God all-powerful. The one who was, the one who is, and the one who is coming. And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to the one who's seated, who is seated on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever, there the 24 elders fall down before the one who's seated on the throne and worship the one who lives forever and ever and put down their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, because you have created all things, and because of you, your will, they existed and were created. People today, the devil has blinded them, and they're saying there's no God. Preachers are saying that God, he loves everything. And they say, well, because God loves everything, he's going to let everything, talking about sin, come into his presence. And it doesn't say so in the Bible. He said, all souls are mine, but the soul that sinneth will die. That means the soul that sinneth cannot come with him. It cannot come with him. It will have a spiritual death. If you look back, let's go to the Logos Bible and look at that scripture in the Logos Bible, and then we'll go to chapter 5. I want to jump some places all through this book. He says, now, in the Logos Bible, verse 1 to 11, it introduces the throne room vision of chapter 4 and 5. These chapters form one scene in which John is invited to behold future events. He depends heavily on Moses, Ezekiel, and Daniel to describe the wonders he witnessed. The vision in these chapters includes the introduction of the Lamb and leads to the seal judgment in chapter 6. After these things, it refers to the reception of the letters in the seven churches. The phrase used here indicates that John received this vision after the previous one. The former voice belonging to the glorious Christ in chapter 1, verse 10. Come up here. It sounds to behold the vision. See, the angel invites John to come and see in the spirit. See, if we would spend time searching the scriptures and spending time with God, fasting and praying, God would call us up. You'll find yourself when you fall asleep that you'll drift away in the spirit man. And you'll be in the spirit world and begin to see things and hear things that normal people wouldn't hear. But when you tell them, they'll think that you're stupid, you're crazy. They say it can't happen. They'll say those things that you're talking about can't, because they have not spent time with their Savior. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 3. Keep your hand there. Stay there in Revelation chapter 4 in the Logos Bible. We can pull up the scriptures that they've given us. Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 12 and chapter 11 and 1. Here's what he says. Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of a great rushing, saying, blessed be the glory of the Lord from his place. Ezekiel is hearing a similar sound to what John, the apostle of God, is hearing in the Spirit. He was taken also in the Spirit, Ezekiel, just as John was. And you hear people arguing. When you say you hear something or see something, or God spoke to you, people say, well, if it don't line up with God's word, well, when God speaks to you, he's speaking to you through his word. God shows you stuff. Sometimes you have to go back and you have to search the scriptures to get an understanding of what God is trying to say to us. He said, moreover, the Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the east gate of the Lord's house, west looking eastward, and behold, at the door of the gate, 25 men, among whom I saw Zehaniah, the son of Ezo, and Pelatiah, the son of Benaiah, princes of the people. The same Benaiah is in the book of 1 Samuel that we were talking about Solomon. Now, hear back in, he said, what must take place after these things? Revelation chapter 1 and verse 19. See, God is laying down a foundation for John to see all this stuff because God is preparing the people, his people, his children, through John with feeding things to tell us so that we can be prepared. God has set up a place in his heavenly realm for people that are prepared. But you have to be prepared. We have to study the manuscript. This is the blueprint, basic instructions before leaving earth. We have to study the manuscript. It's like having a computer, but you don't know all the ups and outs of the computer. You just turn it on and start pressing buttons. You don't study the manual. Hallelujah. It's like having a GPS, but you don't put in the information of where you want to go. And you expect you're going to get there, where you don't know where you're going. The disciples asked Jesus. Jesus told him, you know I got to leave. And he said, where you going? He told him, you know where I'm going, Jesus said. The disciples said to him, no, show us the way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We know the way. The way is Jesus. This is why we have to follow him. Now, immediately I was in the Spirit, John says, this phrase occurred against in chapter 17, verse 3, and chapter 21, verse 10. It functions as a reminder that John is experiencing a prolonged vision. Chapter 1 of Revelation, verse 10. See, John is experiencing this vision that is coming to him, that God wants him to see, because he must write what he sees. Remember, in chapter 1,
right,
the revelator revealed this thing to John. The revelator revealed it to the angel, who revealed it to John, and John penned it down. A lot of preachers, they run off and say, John the revelator, but they don't, because they haven't really caught the vision of what the scripture is saying. And these are preachers that have all types of degrees in theology. They're theologians. But they say, oh, John the Revelator, he said this and he said that. But the Bible says the revelation of Jesus Christ, making Jesus the Revelator. It's in the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants, he wrote, things which must shortly come to pass, and he said and signified it by his angel unto his servant John.
Oh, what? I wonder where it fell from.
Somebody talking in the background, mute your phone, please. Here in the book of Revelation, jasper and carnelian stone, Ezekiel describes Yahweh in a similar way. In Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. Here Ezekiel says, and above the firmament or the heavens that was over their heads, they're talking about the angels, was the likeness of thrones and appearance of a sapphire stone, and upon the likeness of this throne was the likeness of the appearance of a man upon it. And I saw as the colors of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, for the appearance of his loins, even upward from the appearance of his loins, even upward and from the appearance of his loins, even downwards. I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about it. Yeah, imagine these visions that these servants of God are seeing. They're seeing the Messiah. I mean, he is illuminated. Hallelujah, glory to God. What a precious sight. Ezekiel revealed this. And Isaiah, John does not attempt to give a precise description of God. Instead, he describes the overall effect of his glorious presence. When we talk about God and we talk about how marvelous and how awesome, how powerful he is, you know, folk that don't have a connection, have not spent time in his presence, they look at us like we are foolish. They wonder why you are so happy, why you have such a smile on your face, why it seems like things are not working right for you, but you still seem to be so happy about this God that you talk about. Because we had an encounter with him. You know, when Paul was on his way to Damascus in the book of Acts, and he had an encounter with Jesus on the way, the light shining from heaven, Paul was never the same. It is the same way with us. Maybe we have not had the light shining from heaven on us where we had an encounter. But we had a spiritual encounter that changed our complete outlook on life. How we treat people. How we talk to people. How we respond to people. And how the activities of our life. Because we had an encounter with him. A spiritual encounter. And we can't really describe it to people. They don't understand when we start to say, well, you know, I had an encounter with God and God blessed me. And they don't understand. They say, why are you so happy? You don't have a job. You don't have this. You don't have that. But you're so happy. This year, in this chapter, we're not going to finish this today. I know. Because I'm just working this thing that I'm looking at in the Logos Bible. The 24 elders may symbolize the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles. Remember I told you that? The 12 tribes and the 12 apostles. I didn't even read this. Together representing the whole people of God. It's true. This was fit with the context of Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3 of shared rulership for believers, chapter 2, verse 7. He saw the seven spirits of God, which the seven lamps on the seven candlesticks represent the seven spirits of God. The sea of glass in Revelation, the sea likely symbolizes forces of chaos. Chapter 13 and verse 1. Chapter 21 and 1. A calm sea points to God's ability to subdue chaos and bring order. Jonah saw this. The sea of glass is not rumbling in heaven. It's not shaking. It's smooth, silky like. Saying that God has all power and all authority, and God has everything under his command, under his rulership. The possibility of an allusion to the cherubim or the angels describing Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 5, or the seraphims in Isaiah chapter 2, 6, verse 2 and 3. The number 4 often represents the entire creation, created order. Revelation chapter 7, verse 1, Jeremiah 49 and 36. Thus these creatures may represent all living things worshiping God. We find it difficult from time to time. People find it difficult. They don't mind dancing and jumping when the choir or the praise team is singing all of these melodious songs. But when it comes to studying the word of God and praising God, they find it hard to stand. Because when we get to worship, we are giving God a holy living sacrifice. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 2 and 3 says, above them stood the seraphims. Each had 6 wings. With 2 each cover his own face, and with 2 each cover his feet, and with 2 each flew. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. See, this is where we worship him. We worship him because we recognize that he is glorious, that he alone is worthy. Here we see them, the seraphims, worshiping Yahusha. Hallelujah. And this word Yahusha that we are talking about means, I am he who avenges, defends, delivers, helps, preserves, rescues, saves, brings salvation, your Savior, who brings to you victory. Hallelujah. It is being used in a tenor 196 times. That means in the Old Testament, Yahusha is used 196 times in the Old Testament. As I said, when you look at it and look at the interpretation or the meaning of the word Yahusha, it says that everything in him consists of everything that we need. He avenges us. In other words, he fights for us. He defends us. He delivers us. He helps us. He preserves us. He rescues us. He saves us. And he brings salvation. He's your Savior, our Savior, who brings to us victory. We are only victorious. We are only vindicated because of who he is. Not because we so prolific, that we're prolific speakers. Not because that we know how to search the word. Not that because we have all of these dictionaries. But we are victorious, and we're being vindicated because of who he is. I'm talking about no one is worthy but Yahusha. No one is worthy but Yahusha. We're going to get there in a minute. No one is worthy. In the book of Revelation chapter, while John and Ezekiel both described 4 living creatures in their visions and the descriptions, all 4 creatures are identical in Revelation. Each has only one face and resembles a different creature. a lion, an ox, a human, and a flying eagle. Ezekiel creatures have four wings. The jaws have six in the book of Revelation. Like the serpents in Isaiah chapter 6 that we just read about, jawed creatures are full of eyes. Eyes in front and eyes in the back, all over the wings. But the eyes of Ezekiel are on the wheels that moves the creature. Revelation chapter 8 and 4 and verse 8. They're saying before the throne of God. The angels sang day and night worshiping God. Day and night. Not just day, but day and night. Why are they worshiping day and night? Have you ever asked yourself why the Bible says that they worship day and night? Because they know that he was worthy of worship. They had not planned to do anything else. All they wanted to do is worship him. We can't even pray and seek God's face for 30 minutes. Okay, too long. I got to go to the mall. I got to go to the beach. I got to go to the grocery store. There's so many things come to distract us from spending time in God's presence. These angels, all they did, all day long, all night long.
Amen.
And if you can't worship him for 30 minutes here in this earth realm, you're not going to fit in. You're not going to fit in the big choir in heaven. You're not going to fit in. We got to practice right here now. We got to prepare to spend time in the word of God. Spend time giving God glory. I had a young man call me this morning. He was telling me about the inspection. We did the job a lot while back. And he told me, well, the inspector came and passed the inspection. Well, I know it was going to pass because I worked by the code. You know, we already got paid for the job, but the inspection passed. And then he began to tell me about his son. And demons are taking over his son's mind. People are working with crap on his son. He's doing well one day, and then the next day he goes off. Like if somebody hit him with an electric cord or something, you know. So I just begin to minister to him this morning. And he said to me, he says, Apostle, I saw that my wife wasn't home, so she wasn't here with me. He was out there getting some breakfast, going to do a job. He said, I'm sorry my wife wasn't here so she could be in this prayer. He said, maybe I'll call you back tonight and we can pray together, all three of us on the phone, do a conference prayer. I was encouraging him that didn't matter what the devil is trying to do to his son, that his son was already victorious. And it's hard to tell somebody that who is so close as you are in the spirit to God. He loved to pray and so. You know, he had a bad time, an account with a preacher. He and his wife. And he won't go back to no church building. He had a very bad thing. The preacher preached about his wife over the microphone. She was having too much babies, and the preacher preached about it. Because the preacher didn't want her to take care of her kids. All he wanted to do was come to the church and give money. Come to the church building and give money. But she would spend how to take care of her kids. He said, if she could get less children, she could give more to the church. God said, be fruitful and multiply. No. Here in this word of God, we're talking about no one is worthy but Yahusha. No one is worthy. Only Christ can do what Christ can do. You can't do what he can do. No matter how anointed you are, no matter how appointed you are, how approved you are, you cannot do. We cannot do what only he can do. Don't you say it? He can do it. They see here it says the angels sang day and night before God. In this book, they begin to praise him, admonish him, glorify him, exalt him, magnify who he is. They know that he is the sovereign Lord. He's all powerful, all known, all seen, all being. He is. I am. I tell you that the word Yahusha what it means. I am he. You don't even have to go no further than that. I researched it this morning. He said, I am he. That's enough. And that I am he means everything. Everything. He said, I am he. Remember when Moses asked, who shall I tell the people that you are? He said, tell them that I am that I am. That's all you need to tell them. I can back everything that I said I am. I am that I am that I am. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You serve a mighty God. Put your burdens, put your yokes before him. Lay them at his feet. Be like the woman with the issue of blood, crawling and just touch the hem of his garment in your spirit. You know how to, oh God, in the spirit, crawling and touch him. Touch him with your concerns. Touch him with your knees. Touch him with your praise. Hallelujah. We find it difficult because we don't have this thing that allows us to stand long enough to hear from God. What you call it? Patience. Thank you, Apostle. I just heard it. We don't have it. I remember years ago, I told Apostle, I said, man, I was so blessed with her. I said, love, man, she had so much patience. And since I've been dealing with her and spending time with her and her husband, God has increased my patience. You got to get to the place. Don't think that you're all that in a bag of chips in the Pepsi-Cola. No, you haven't arrived. Admit your faults. I thought I said, Pastor, man, I'm so blessed to know you. Man, I don't know. And I was talking with Deacon Frazier. That's why, you know, I tell the truth. Because Deacon was a lot to handle. I mean, when he couldn't talk, what? And he started and stuff and asked the same thing over and over and down the stuff. And the apostle, I said, Apostle, I got so much to do. There's so much on my plate now to do for God. Like, and I can't spend the time that I want. I love Brother Deacon Frazier. I love him like he's my own son. But I couldn't have the time to stand with him to teach him what I know. I said, Apostle, you can talk to him. You can and she talked. Man, she slowed down all the way down over and over, repeating the scriptures for Deacon to be where he is today. She is somewhat great, not somewhat. She is responsible to him where he is right now in the ministry. But I have to admit that I didn't have the patience. Because I'm dealing with people in Africa and India, here in America, in the Caribbean, in Canada, all over the world, in Brazil. I got dealing with people in France, Italy. I'm dealing with people calling me tonight. Up to last night, I had another call from India. People calling me want prayer. They're going through stuff. Not that I'm this guru or something, but they know I don't mind praying for them. They know I don't mind staying in agreement with them. That's the part you got to do this. I said, Lord, I said, girl, I said, woman of God, I just pray that God will grant me some patience like you have. Today, have a lot of patience. I can not the, as much as I need, I hope to have, but I got a lot more than I had a few years ago. Glory to God. And I tell you, I'm happy with it. You got to admit where you are. You're not going to get what you need if you keep thinking that you are that. No, you got some faults. Lord, I got some faults here. This stuff is messing with me. I can't deal with these people with this. Talk to him. And guess what? God will just release you and increase you. He said, no. They put down their crowns, the 24 elders. They laid their crowns before the Lord. They realized that he was the one that had all authority. We're in chapter 4, Revelation. They laid their crowns at his feet. The 24 elders fall down before the one who is seated on the throne and worship the one who lives forever and ever and put their crowns before the throne saying, you are worthy, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power because you have created all things. I ain't created nothing. You know anybody? I mean, these bishops and these chief apostles that they call themselves. There's only one chief apostle, that's Jesus Christ. If they become apostle or bishop, they can't be stuck to say, well, I'm apostle. That's the gift that God did put upon my life. They can't be satisfied with that. I got to be a chief apostle. If you call them a bishop, they can't be satisfied to say, I'm a bishop. They want to be an archbishop. Do you see? Go search your Bible. Go and search the New Testament anywhere if you see where you see archbishop. The chief apostle isn't there, though. He's Jesus. Paul, even Paul, who was the greatest of the apostles, he said, oh, I wasn't even worthy to be called an apostle. Because what he had done to the cross, to the church. These folks running around, man, can't even make a butterfly flap the wings or mosquito draw blood. I'm chief apostle this body. I'm doctor, chief apostle, pastor this body. You can't even call them by their name. They get mad at you if you don't call them doctor, apostle, bishop, pastor, evangelist, so and so. You got to call them all of these titles and all these giftings on their name before you even call them their birth name. And one lady was talking to me yesterday from Virginia. I was talking to her. She said, oh, what are you, apostle or pastor? What can I call you? I said, look, I'm just a servant. Because all that stuff that you called enough to call me ain't going to get me to heaven. I got to live a life that please God. You can call me chief apostle. You can call me archbishop. You can call me all kinds of names you want to call me. But if I don't live to match them names that you're calling me, I'm not going to make it in. I'm going to be outside while everybody's going in. Because he's going to say, depart from me and work of iniquity. I never knew you. People are so caught up in all of this stuff. How much money they have, how many cars and houses and all this stuff, where they can shop. They're concerned with all of the materialistic things and not concerned with the soul. One lady said, she said, I'm so sorry. I wanted all that I can have of this world and more. She said, I sold my soul to the devil. She said, I'm so sorry. I didn't understand what I was doing. But it looked good and it sounded good. I didn't even take the time to research all that I was doing. She said, I want to get out of this environment. She said, you're not going to hear from me anymore. I don't even know, she said, if I can get out. She signed the paper. Folks are signing papers because they want to have this lucre. The Bible talks about it. Lucre. They want to have it. Their most focus is getting rich. I want to have all of this stuff that all these other preachers have. Joe Osteen has so many cars. I saw they had a picture on YouTube, one of his big multi-million-dollar homes. And he got several of those. He had Ferraris and these foolish people, Lamborghinis, all this stuff he had, Bentleys, Rolls Royce, all kind of cars. I mean, you name it. People were just buying and give it to this man. And he got them all on the lawn. Big old lawn. Acre. The cars all colors. Imagine some of the people going to the church that he's supposed to be some pastor. And all them people, some of them people catching trains. Some people catching bus. Getting rides from other people to get to the service. Not that he preaching anything that's worthy of. But he trapping their intellects. You think he would give them a car? Glory to God. Let's go back in here. Jesus help us. Let's just go right into the Bible. And we're going to go into the Bible. And we're going to let the Lord speak through us. Let the Lord speak. I look at this thing here with these 24 elders, and I told you they represent the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles. And I see that when they came before the throne of God, what they did is that they begin to worship. They begin to exalt God. They begin to magnify God. And then what is so phenomenal, what they did is that they took off their crowns. Because only one person was worthy to wear the crown. And that was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Where did they lay the crowns? At his foot. A sign of humility. Where the woman with the issue of blood did? She crawled at the feet of Jesus Christ. She didn't stand up and say, Master, Rabbi, I need you to heal my body. My body is constantly flowing with blood. I'm smelly. I'm yucky. She stayed at his feet. Didn't even touch his hand. She touched his garment. And he felt that virtue left him. Somebody had enough faith to touch, be humble enough to touch him down there. Here, look, they say, Domitian, who ruled from A.D. 81 to 96, who may have been the Roman Emperor during John's exile to Patmos, demanded that his subject call him our Lord and God, small lowercase l for Lord, lowercase g for God. John sets up a clear contrast between the true king and the one whose rule will eventually be done away with. See, all of these false kings and false priests and stuff, they're going to be nowhere, no more pretty soon. All of these presidents and prime ministers that think that they can destroy God's world and God's people, soon you're going to look around to find them, and they're going to be no way. No more. They're going to be gone. Let's go to Revelation chapter 5, and let's work this scripture out today. And we got more to come. We're going to give you a part two. Maybe we're coming on Saturday, and we'll do a part two. We'll do a part two on Saturday. Revelation chapter 5. Let's go to Revelation chapter 5. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We got to get this word in. John now begins. He's in heaven. You imagine that. He's in heaven spiritually. I want you to understand this, because I always contradict this. Preachers come at me, man. I don't care. Because, see, when I was studying this book, even though I got a manual somewhere here, I got a manual on two manuals here. I got send one for Apostle, send one for. But I got two manuals here on the book of Revelation. Two of them. The one is ever. And when I was studying that, and I was seeing this stuff, and the preacher there was saying that, I said, well, I already knew that. John is not the revelator. He's a scribe. He's a scribe in the Bible. But most preachers said, John, the revelator. And they'll stress their beat with a melodious voice, oh, John, the revelator. He said this, and he said that, and you ought to have been there. I wish I was there here, John, while he was speaking a word, because he the revelator. I said, Lord Jesus, but I went back. And I was in this big church, over $1 million church. And I began to preach. And when I broke it down, according to the Spirit of God, it was silence in the place. You could have dropped a needle on the carpet and you would have heard the needle make a sound like a bell. Because when the truth comes forth, people can't talk. And it's right here in this text. I read it earlier. Right here in chapter 1. If you read it and study it in the Spirit, you'll hear that Jesus is the revelator, not John. John is a scribe. A scribe is the one who pens the things down. Like while you're in church, you find yourself in the office of a scribe. The preacher's preaching, you have your little notebook, and you're taking notes according to what the preacher's saying. You become a scribe at that particular time. That's what a scribe does. A scribe is not a revelator. He's a scribe. He writes stuff. And that's what John was in this book. The angel received it from the revelator. Okay? And he said it to John. And John wrote it down, that we, you and I, can have this word today. Here he says, and I saw laying open the hand of him who was seated on the throne. Revelation chapter 5 in the Amplified Bible. We're moving around in these Bibles. So John saw this one on the throne holding this scroll or book written within and on the back, closed and sealed with seven seals. Isaiah chapter 29, verse 11, Ezekiel chapter 2 and 9 and 10, Daniel chapter 12, we got Daniel coming up, we got Daniel in this sermon too, chapter 12. And I saw a strong angel announcing in a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll. The angel began to sing out with a loud voice, shout out with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll? Who can open this book? We want to know what the book is saying to us. So the angel with a loud voice saying, who is worthy to open the book and alone lock the scrolls? Who is entitled, who deserves, who is morally fit to break its seals? Thousands of years ago, before you and I was born, the way they would do it, that when they wrote the scroll, the prophets, and even the kings wrote something, they would seal it. They would close it, and they would put a little strip of paper, parchment, on, and the parchment had some glue that would seal it, and they would use the ring of the king or the prophet. We used a stamp from the head of his staff, had a little emblem on the head of his staff, and they would dip it in the ink made from grapes, and they would stamp it, seal, and it could only open with someone who had the authority. So the angel asked this question. And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth in the realm of the dead in hell, Hades, was able to open the scroll or to take a single look at its contents. You couldn't even look upon it. I believe that if you looked on it, you will be shocked with blindness. I believe you couldn't look on it because the power that covered those seals was so anointed that you would lose your vision. You would not be able to see. He said, and I wept audibly and bitterly because no one was found fit to open the scroll or to inspect it. We are in darkness. What we need is in the scroll, is in the book. The door said it, there's no one to open in. What we need is in this book. What we need to do is get up in the morning and begin to glorify him, admonish him for who he is, and then open this book. The seals have been broken. They have been removed. We can open the book and see what God is saying to us. What does he want us to do today? Who do you want me to speak to today, Lord? Who can I help today? Not just me and my four no more, but Lord, who can I help beyond my house today? Who can I share a kind word today? The seal is open. The seal is broken. The scroll is open. Verse 5 says, then one of the elders of the heavenly Sanhedrin, the heavenly host, said to me, stop weeping. See, the land of the tribe of Judah, the root or the source of David, has won, has overcome and conquered. He can open the scroll and break its seven seals. Genesis chapter 49, verse 9 and 10, excuse me. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 and verse 10. Revelation 22 and 16. And there, between the throne and the four living creatures, being and among the elders of the heavenly Sanhedrin, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, the sevenfold Holy Spirits, who have been sent on duty far and wide into the earth. Isaiah chapter 53. Verse 7, Zechariah chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10. He then went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders of the heavenly Sanhedrin, or heavenly host, prostrated themselves before the Lamb. Each was holding a harp, lute, or guitar, and there had golden bowls with the of incense, fragrant spices, and gums, and for burning, which are the praise of God's people and saints. Do you know when you send your praise up, that the angels of God collect your praise, and they take your praise before the altar, the heavenly altar?
Amen.
more time praying. If you knew these things, you would spend more time in prayer. Your prayer is not just going up through the atmosphere. They're not rolling out. They're blowing every which way. They're going before the throne. The angels receive your prayers. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And they take them before the throne room. And before the, in the throne room before the throne of God. The Bible says, verse 9 says, and now they sing a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to break the seals that are on it. For you were slain, sacrificed, and with your blood you purchased men unto God from every tribe and language and people and nation. Psalm 33 and 3. See, Jesus is the Lamb. He looked like, the angel said he looked like he was slain. John said he looked like he was slain. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. Hallelujah, glory to God. It's right there in the Word. Hallelujah. 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 So we can praise him. But only he is worthy. Only he is worthy to open the scroll. Only he has the authority, you must understand. Satan can't touch it. The 24 elders can't touch it. They're in the throne, but they don't have the power. They don't have the authority to touch the scroll. He paid the price on Calvary to open the scroll. He paid the price on Calvary to break the seals. I'll tell you that no one is worthy but Yahusha. No one. Many may come in their fancy robes with their fancy bishop ring or apostle ring and all that stuff on their finger. But you see, the 12 original apostles, the 12 tribes, representatives of the 12 tribes, all these are the sons of Jacob. They represent the 12 tribes. Do you hear me today? But not one of them were able to open, to reach to the hand of God. Listen to me, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. None of them was able to reach to the throne of God and take that scroll out of the hand of God. Not one of them was able to do it. Remember, it wasn't Satan sitting on the altar. It wasn't a beast sitting on the altar. It was God on the altar. But the only one who could take that scroll was the one that had all power and all authority. Jesus Christ himself. He said, you have made them a kingdom, royal race, and priests to our God, and they shall reign as kings over the earth. Exodus chapter 19, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 61 and 6. You don't know if you think about it. We're going to do a part two of this message. We'll come back in on Saturday. But if you sit a little bit time, take a little bit time, And just reminisce on these scriptures here in the book of Revelation. You will see what God has done for us. It will give you the reason to want to live holy, to live righteous. Hallelujah. It will cause you to shut down the things that are trying to penetrate your mind. Because when all is said and done that we are going after the lucre, L-U-C, I-E, we are trying to get the lucre, represent the materialistic things, the money, and this earth, the gold, the silver, the zinc, all that stuff is not going to work anything. Because the gold on earth can't be taken to heaven. The gold in heaven has no additives to it. It's pure. Pure! So you can't take it to heaven. You can't take the money that you spend all your days and hours trying to make. Don't have no time. You have to work two jobs because you want to keep up with your neighbors. You want to keep up with your friends that you've been in college with, school with. They're doing well, so you want to do two jobs, three jobs and a half. Get home, you're so tired, you can't pray. You don't want to pray. You're too tired. Can't even take a shower. You fall right across the bed and go to sleep. Can't even eat the supper that your husband cook or your wife cook for you. You just, oh, baby, I'm going to get back with you. I'm so tired. Can't even give God a thank you offering for the day. That it kept you on the highway, kept you on your office, kept you on your job. Because you're trying to keep up with the Joneses, the Jeffersons. Can't spend an hour to praise God. If you look in this book, you will see. Jesus has made everything possible for you and I. Then, verse 11, then I looked, and I heard the voices of many angels on every side of the throne and of the living creatures and the elders of the heavenly Sanhedrin, as I tell you, the heavenly host, and their number 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Daniel chapter 7, verse 10. I mean, the heavenly throne room is saturated with the people of God, the servants of God, the children of God. It's filled, and they're all bowing down, worshiping God. Nobody is jealous over the next person in this business that we in here. Because the church, the leaders now, you know, if you know pastors, I know a lot of them, know many pastors just because of the office that I'm in. Many of them, the oldest, you hear them say, we are in a business of doing this, a business of doing that. They call it a business. Church business, that's what they tell you. They said, we want to know how the business is doing. What they're counting, they call the accountant in the accountant house. How are we doing this week? How did we do this month? They don't call and say, did we lead anybody to Christ? Did we win any souls for the heavenly kingdom? You don't ever hear them say about souls. How the finances are. Let's go back in the office and check the financial status of the church. They are saying with a loud voice, deserving is the Lamb who was sacrificed. He received all the power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and majesty, glory, splendor, and blessing. Jesus gave his life on the throne so we could live. Live for what? So we can live and praise him. He wants us to honor him as King, as Lord, as Savior. This is what he wants. He's not concerned with your big check. Some folks say, I can't wait to write a check for the church. God wants your presence. What God wants from us is our presence. He wants us to come into his presence. God wants worship from us. He wants that our lifestyle glorify him. That when somebody sees us, they say, that's truly a child of God. This one is living for God. They may not have the big fancy home or the big fancy nice vehicles and all the materialistic things of the world, but you can look at them and see this thing that comes out with them is so awesome. They go in the hospital and pray for people, and God comes up, shows up, and touches the person, puts the people get healed. Man, last night I was walking a little thing was early before I went out, and the man was saying, but all of these preachers, about 50 preachers that you know all their names is on YouTube. And this man was breaking down their ministry. He's a preacher too. He's a servant of God. And he was breaking down their ministry in such a way, I've never seen it from that point of view. But he was taking the scriptures. Oh, excuse me. He was taking the scriptures. Deacon, he was taking the scriptures and he was showing you how they was manipulating the people of God. He was showing you how they were using the word of God to get what they need from the people. I said, man, I never seen it like that. And it was so plain. And then I heard somebody say yesterday that they remember when T.D. Jakes was a young preacher, my pastor. When I go to Virginia, I wish I could get that VHS tape. And I remember when T.D. Jakes had a little bitty church. It's coming out of the house. It looked like a little house church. Man, he was a powerful, powerful anointing man. Because what he was, at that time, he was hungry. He was hungry for who God was. But see, when you get elevated to a certain place, we have to be very careful. As Jesus said, watch and pray, lest you fall into temptation. He told his disciples that in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was going over there to pray. When I see things like that, I say, well, God told them that. This is what I say. I've got to get stuff different to people, I believe. But when I hear in our study, God said, told him he's going over to Gethsemane to pray. And he told him, said, watch. Stay right here. I'm going to go a little further over here. In other words, he wants to, oh, God, I hear you, Holy Spirit. He wants to have a private time with his Father. We have to make private time for our Father in heaven. Hear what I'm telling you today. I don't have any notes on this sermon. I preach straight from the Bible. Sometimes I go into the Locust and I put up some of the little elaborations from the Locust, but I preach straight morally from the Bible. We have to spend time, have some personal, private time, not with your husband, not with your wife, just you and God. It's good when you and your wife can go before God, but sometimes you've got to go in there by yourself and close the door. You and him alone. He told them, just stay right here. I'm going to go over here, a little further over here, and I'm going to pray. But why are you over here? He told them, watch in prayer, lest you fall into temptation. Two times he come back and find him sleeping. He asked him, could you just watch for me one time, 1 hour, while I go over here and pray? So you can guess and say, well, maybe he was praying for 1 hour. You know, could you just watch for me for 1 hour while I go pray, while I talk to daddy? And when he came back the third time and find him, he said, go on and sleep on, sleep on. Because why? He had already talked to daddy. He had already got his prayer through. Sleep on. We have to watch in prayer. Let's be fall into temptation. Satan is busy. The higher that you get in ministry, the more Satan going to come out. You don't feel that you arrive. That's why I say I'm not arrived. I haven't arrived. Because God the Father is talking to me. He is drawing me closer to him. He's convicting my heart of thoughts that come into my mind that want to draw me over to the other side. Hear what I'm telling you. I don't got to tell you this, but I'm telling you. But he convicted me and said, David, you cannot stay on that, we call it fester. You can't let that talk fester in your mind. Oh, folks, you should say that. You got to cast that thought down, because if you keep pondering on that thought, you're going to find yourself slipping. You know, one pastor said, one preacher, one songwriter said, slipping into darkness. Pretty soon you're going to pay. I think it was War. Sing that song. And we find yourself keep going back and forth in that darkness. Pretty soon you pay. Hallelujah. You might take something in darkness, and when you come home, you give it to your husband or you give it to your wife, not knowing that you got it in your body, because you think you were so slick in darkness. But what you do in darkness will be exposed by the light of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, many years ago when I was a wild man, I would say about 30-some years ago, I was a wild man. I wasn't saved. But I was a womanizer, and I was getting high with this girl. I tell you this, I don't have to tell you, because somebody needs to know this, that if you keep on slipping into darkness, you will get caught. You cannot hide. The light of God will expose you. I just got one more verse or two more verses, and I'm done. I'm turning this over to better vision. But listen, what happened is I was getting high with this girl, smoking cocaine, and we caught it that we were infatuated with each other, or loving each other. The cocaine was talking. That's the devil in darkness. And the next thing I know, she and I was having sex. We were intimate. And we got sex for a long time. The next thing I know, I have a daughter with her, 27 years old. 27 or something, I think it's about 27, 28 years old now. Yes, it's for that. And I thought I was slipping. Guess what? God said, kept my wife in love with me. He didn't have to. She could have left. Because I committed adultery, infidelity. And God said, show me that I'll give you another chance to be with this woman and keep this woman in your life. I wouldn't allow her to leave you, because you're the good man who's making mistakes. I'm saying is that you don't have to do what I've done. You young man out there, I'm still in action in my body like Abraham. Hallelujah. But God brought me to all that let me know that he is a God of mercy and grace. But because he's a God of mercy and grace, I'm not putting myself back out there again. And I was lucky that all that stuff that I was doing, that God had never let me pick up no venereal disease or some kind of stuff to make my woman sick. I'm saying this to you all. I don't have to tell these things. But I try my best to stay transparent before God's people. Because the sin that you hide is the same that would kill you. Okay? The sin you hide is the sin that would kill you. I think Solomon said something that the sin that's uncovered can be delivered. When you uncover the sin, you get delivered from it. It's like having a sore on your body. You don't ever tell the doctor. I told a doctor yesterday, cardiologist, he said, your heart sounds good, your liver sounds good. He said all that stuff he was listening to, he listened to going all around my body, said, sounds good. But I told him I had a pain about 2 weeks ago, less about 2 weeks. And I said, it was coming in steady on the left side of my heart. I said, but for some reason, these last couple of days, I haven't had no pain. He said, but you know, what we're going to do, we're going to give you a stress test because you haven't had a stress test in the last 5 years. He said, the last time you had a stress test for your heart was 5 years ago. And that's just about right. Okay, and that was 2017. So he says, we're going to get a stress test. Well, I got a call this morning. The lady said, am I speaking to David Callan? I said, who's speaking? I don't tell everybody yes, because a lot of time when you say yes, they got your name on recording saying yes, and they got you for something. And next thing you know, you are paying a bill that you didn't purchase nothing. You understand? So our people ask me, who am I speaking to? Or somebody say, you on a recording? Can you hear me? I say, I don't say yes, I can hear you. I said, click, because all these tricks that they use in technology to get you charged for something. So I said, no. But, you know, I've done stuff, man, and been out there, and God had delivered me. And I share myself. I keep myself out there because I don't have a lot of stuff in the natural. But in the spirit, I sure enough got a lot, and God is okay, one minute here. Somebody's calling me here, deacon from another church. Praise the Lord. That's the one of the deacons from another church that I was beating. And he just called me. Somebody wanted to have a furnace. So I'm going to call him after I get off of here. But here, the last two verses, let's get over here. And Brother Bishop will come and do a prayer of salvation. We'll open the line. He said, and I heard every created thing in heaven and on earth and under the earth, in Hades, the place of the departed spirits, and on the sea and all that is in it, crying out together to him who is seated on the throne, mighty and dominion. Listen, sitting on the throne and the Lamb, and to the Lamb be ascribed the blessing and the honor and the majesty and the majesty, glory, splendor, and the power, mighty and dominion forever and ever through the eternities of the eternities. Daniel chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Then the four living creatures being said, amen, so be it. And the elders of the heavenly Sanhedrin prostrated themselves and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. I tell you, because he's worthy, we have to worship him. We have to bow down. We have to give him adoration. We have to submit and we have to commit, like Bishop James says. We have to repent daily. Don't let the devil fool you that because you've been going to church for 30 years, 40 years, that you don't have to repent. Think about the thoughts that you have in your mind. Think about when you're watching TV and that half-naked man, half-naked woman, naked man, naked woman pop up in the pop-ups, you know, them commercial stuff that pop up, and you start getting feelings. You start lusting after that figure that you see on the television screen, on your computer screen, on your cell phone. Think about that stuff. All of that is sin. Hallelujah. That's why Paul says, cast down all thoughts and imagination. Repent daily. Every time you say, Lord, I repent. Don't just say you repent. Turn away from the things that would draw you away from God. Yeah, I say all the time, backsliding is not a sudden dash. People don't just backslide. It is very slow. It's a slippery backsliding. Oh, you just happens to be. One time you don't want to pray. Next time you say, I'll pray today. But tomorrow, I got something else to do. And next day, you might pray 10 minutes, 5 minutes. And it keeps going until finally you don't want to pray anymore. You don't want to study your Bible anymore. The preacher said, when the last thing you started? Well, you know, I was so busy. I had no time. Why? Because you're on the verge of backsliding. You're sliding away from God. You're slipping away from him. And it's a slow, slow slide. Slow slide away. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. We thank you for this awesome anointed word that you have brought into our spirit on last night, Lord. We love this book of Revelation, Lord. It gives us so much insight to the things that we should look forward to and the things that we should stay away from. Lord, we ask today that you bless every ear that heard this word today and every ear that would hear it at a later date. Lord, we ask you to draw us close. Lord, we ask you to continue to forgive us. Keep us walking in that straight and narrow path, Lord. Lord, let us not slip to the left or to the right, Lord, but keep us on that straight and narrow path. And Father, we know we don't always get it right. We don't cross every T and we don't dot every I. But Father, we are trying the utmost best, our utmost best by the Spirit of the living God to do a little bit better than we did yesterday and the day before. We just thank you, God, for just being our God, being our Savior, our Redeemer, and our soon coming King. Now, Father, even as I turn this line over to Bishop to come in and bring the prayer of salvation, I ask your blessings over this airways, Lord. I ask your healing over this airways. Lord, deliverance over this airways, restoration over this airways, God. We ask, oh God, that you meet us at our point of need, oh God. Somebody is lacking finances. Somebody's lacking food for their children. Somebody need a job, oh God, so they can really satisfy, take care of their children, their home, their husband, their wife, Lord. I ask you, God, to open the window, the doors and the gates of heaven for us today, Lord. Let us look in. Let us look in like John looked in and saw the things that he needed to pen down so that we could live to today. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Come on in, Bishop. I am finished. I'm going to heat this tea up. I am finished, Bishop. Come on in.
Okay, thank you, sir. And blessed be God.
Thank you.
His holy name. Oh, God, my pleasure, sir. For those who have never received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and A lot of times we wonder why we get so much and we're not reading the Bible, or we stop reading the Bible, but we're getting a lot. It's the trick of the enemy. You know, he wants to pull us just as far away from God as he can and keep us in his camp. And if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's time you break free of the bondage that the enemy puts everybody in if he can. If we open a crack, it's a mile wide. Just give him a crack and he'll slip in and push it wide open. Don't let him do this to you. Don't, brothers and sisters in Christ. And those who have backslidden, you've allowed the enemy to come in, but you know how to slam the door on his foot. All you have to do is say, Jesus, take me back. Please forgive me for all of my sins and all my iniquities. And would you accept me back? And the Father in heaven will do so. Jesus is there, is the only way to the Father, is through the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now, for those who have never received him, this is the time for you to receive Jesus. It's so very, very easy, very simple. First of all, you must believe when you make this pledge. Excuse me just a second. Pardon me for the interruption. Now, if you have a Bible, you may have just bought a Bible for show, put it on the living room table so when people come in the house, oh, they're Christians, they have a Bible. But just check out the dust that's on the Bible. Or the pages are still brand new, they'll be stuck together. Just flip it and see. We'll find out if they read the Bible or not. Pages won't even have a crinkle in it. Okay. But don't just put it there for show. For show. H-O-W. Put it there and make sure, S-U-R-E, make sure you read the scripture every day. You read a scripture. And you can start today. If you've never opened that Bible before, turn it to the book of Romans, chapter 10, beginning at verses 8. 9 and 10. And read it, believe it, live it. You shall be saved once you've made that commitment. Okay? And the first thing you have to do once you make the commitment is think about just what it's saying. Verse 8, chapter 10 of Romans says, but what does it say? It says, the word is near you. It's in your mouth. Which means you must speak it. Don't try and think about it and say, oh, well, I'm going to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And you think God can hear your thoughts, but the enemy can't. All he can do is inject thoughts in your mind, and he's going to really be battling against you. So you just say, be quiet, Satan. Quiet, Satan, be gone. I'm accepting Jesus today as my Savior. But you have to mean it and speak it out loud. And the first verse, what does it say? Then the word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And if you believe that Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God Almighty, has died for our sins and iniquities, not his, he accepted sin was placed on him. All of our sins was placed on his shoulders. He carried the weight of the world. Universe after universe, he's kept the weight of the world, of the worlds. If there's any life out there, the only way to Jesus, to Christ, to God Almighty, is through Christ Jesus. Now, if you believe it in your heart, to do is say this out loud, as I said, believe it in your heart and speak it. Speak it. Make sure you speak it out loud. Put it in the atmosphere. Now, the next step is to repent. Repent is what you do. Whatever you have done in your lifetime, I don't care if you murdered people, You know, I mean, I care. Don't get me wrong. Whatever you must have done, whatever you might have done, if you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior and truly believe that he can save you, and he will, he shall save you, okay? But you must believe. Give it to Jesus, and he'll take you into his kingdom. He'll put you on this list of ambassadors for Christ. Receive him. Repent. Do not go back to the life you were living previously, and your slate will be clean. It's like if you've never sinned before. Now, don't say willfully go out there and sin. You've already sinned. The Word of God says we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's also in Romans, in the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 23. Okay, read it for yourself. Take a moment and read those scriptures. And remember, you must speak it out loud. Chapter 10, verses of Romans, chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10. Okay. Now, the next step is to be baptized, which is an outward sign that you're receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior, which you have done. If you've said this prayer, you're already saved. Repent. Do not go back to the way you were previously living or doing. Don't do any of those things anymore and truly give your life to Christ Jesus. Your slate is clean. You're a brand new creature in Christ, you know? And it's like if all your sins are wiped out. It is. Not like it is the way God has given you for everything if you accept Jesus as your Savior today. And if you've backslidden, you know the drill, brothers and sisters. You've been here before. Don't slip anymore. You're walking on banana peels and eggshells. You crack the eggshells or slip on the banana peel. You know, don't hurt yourself anymore. Don't put yourself in a position where you'll never see God's face. Come to Jesus while you still have time. And that goes for new believers. Come to Jesus while you still have time. Because only way, he is Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. And he is the only way to the God Almighty. The God calls us all to himself. But only through Jesus can we be accepted and saved. Hallelujah. Now, the next step is to be baptized, as I said. It's an outward sign to everyone. People who have never seen you before, you know, strangers on the street, neighbors, people who knew you, who knew how you lived, not living how you lived. You're not living like that anymore. It's repentance. And if you go to the book of Acts, hallelujah, as the apostles did in the book of Acts, beginning at verses 38 through 41, read the scripture, take your time and read it. And if your church doesn't baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you want to stay at your church, I'm not telling you to leave your church, but the only way to do it is through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the scripture says. Now, you can read that for yourself, which is also in the book of Acts, chapter 4, beginning at verse 10, okay, of the book of Romans. Looking at the verse 10 through verse 12. Read it for yourself, not what Bishop James is saying, just what the Word of God is saying. What I say doesn't mean a row of pins. What Jesus said means everything. Eternal salvation is through him and him only. Where it says, other name under heaven mentioned by which we must be saved other than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And as I said in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 38 through 41, read it for yourself. And the first thing Peter said, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Not what Bishop James is saying, what the Word of God is saying. Okay, I wasn't around when Peter said that. I wasn't around, but inspired by God. Not me. I'm inspired by God to repeat what the Word of God says. Jesus. I wasn't around over 2,000 years ago. Not to my knowledge. I wasn't here. I was still in heaven with the Lord, you know, 2,000 years ago. I'm down here, you know, like a 18. I've been around a little while, you know, and praise the Lord God Almighty. Now, if you go and tell everyone you know to come to your baptism, anyone who comes in and you tell them about the baptism, tell them about the words that I told you today, a way to read it in the scriptures. You're an ambassador in Christ. You've accepted Jesus. It's just like if you have position of a bishop or apostle or whatever, you're speaking the word of God to someone. If that person accepts Jesus as their Savior today, you know, it will be well worth you telling people to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, because you will be richly rewarded for eternity. If that person accepts Jesus as their Lord and Savior, it will be accounted to you, and you'll get a jewel in your crown for drawing that soul, attempting to draw that soul to Christ Jesus. Now, for doing so, invite people, as I said, and find a church that will, find a pastor that will baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe your pastor never thought about it. Send him or her to the scripture and have them read the scriptures that I gave you, the book of Acts. I'll have them do it, chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. Have them read it for themselves. Maybe they're Bible scholars for 50 years, but they read it, but they didn't live it. They didn't do it as it was said. You know, and simple things that we pass over, simple words we pass over in the scripture, read them hundreds of times and don't realize exactly what it says. And you read it for yourself, ask the Holy Spirit to explain to you exactly what the scriptures are saying. Every time you read a scripture, because every time you read a scripture, you're going to find something in that scripture that you missed. You're going to find something because the Holy Spirit will slip you a nugget that you never saw before, or you saw it and didn't realize what it was. Always read your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray you do, and that we're so happy here at Block Talk Radio that you've accepted Jesus as your Savior. Welcome to the family of God. Please join our Block Talk Radio and come and listen every day. And if you have some preaching abilities, you don't have to have that. Just read the scripture and explain, try and explain what the Holy Spirit has explained to you. You don't have to give a half an hour, 4 to 5 minutes a sermon. You can do it in less than 15 or 20 minutes at least, and you put your input in. Somebody somewhere is going to hear it, and they too may come to Christ. And that's through you. That's through your listening and reading what I ask you to read. In Jesus' name, God bless each and every one of you. Bless your families, your friends, your neighborhood, your church, strangers, even your enemies. Invite them all. In Jesus' name, and God bless you and your family. To God be all the glory, honor, and praise. Apostle, I'm through. And it's
amen, 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 amen. Thank you, Brother Bishop. Thank you for that prayer of salvation. We just bless the name of the Lord Jesus. And
amen.
I thank the Lord for you. You're feeling better, and we're just thanking God for God doing what only he can do in us and through us.
Yes,
glory
yes,
to God.
Yes.
Thank you. We had three more people on with us from Tennessee, and they're going to go off after I finish. But we thank God. We thank God they stayed on, came on early, and heard the word. Came on right after I was turning off the worship music, and they stayed
yes.
on till we finished the word. So we just bless the name of the Lord Jesus
the
for this word
Lord.
Today, and thank him for those that are going to receive the gift of salvation. But that's
yes,
the most
Lord,
important
you.
Thing. You know,
hallelujah.
Yeshua, Yahusha, he brought us salvation, and because he
hallelujah.
Brought us salvation, we experience victory in our daily walk. You know, we experience victory, and that's why we praise him. That's why we honor him. That's why
Hallelujah.
We extol him and we exalt him. Mm-hmm. You know,
Hallelujah.
It's not till you have that spiritual contact with him. You know, a lot of people go to the altar because the pastor make an altar call, but they have not opened their heart to be submitted and commit their life to Christ. He wants
yes.
to open your heart to submit and commit. You have an encounter with him. And when
yes.
you have that encounter, that spiritual encounter, you know, your life never be the same. It never be the same. And I bring in that from Paul
yes,
in the book of Acts when he was going to Damascus.
Yes.
He had an encounter. Mm. Remember, he was destroying the churches and locking up Christians, even causing Christians to be put to death. But once he had that encounter, you know, Paul was doing it out of ignorance, as he told you. He was doing it out of ignorance because he thought he was helping God.
Yes,
know?
Lord. Thank you.
And, and once he got that encounter, he realized how wrong he was. And God
yes.
had to take away his earthly sight so he could get heavenly vision. You know,
yes,
when you catch
Lord.
A heavenly vision, your life becomes different. Then you begin to be able to see on earth. As long as you have an
yes.
earthly vision, you will never get the heavenly vision. You have to
Hallelujah.
Be blinded to the earth first. Have to be blinded to the earth
Lord.
First. And yes, then you will
Hallelujah.
Get heavenly vision. Your life,
yes,
your mindset
Lord.
Becomes different. You know, I preached a message many years ago, about 30 years ago, I preached a message. About 25, 27 years ago, I preached a message called Not the Same Mindset. You know,
Hallelujah.
And we find that a lot of people still have the same mindset and they're in the church. That way you see
yes.
they're stabbing each other in the church now. This is the big thing in the church now. They're stabbing each other in the church now because they came in the church with a worldly mindset and they still held on to the earthly mindset, the worldly mindset. So if something,
yes,
somebody
Lord.
Says something that they don't like, the first thing they want to do is fight. I saw
yes.
a church then, and I think I was in Philadelphia, Jersey, one of them places, and they were having rehearsal. They went to the church rehearsal. And the worshipers got into an argument while they were worshiping, practicing to worship God on Sunday. And one of the guys pulled out a gun. He didn't let them worship. One of the guys pulled out a gun. Because one guy was talking to him in a way he didn't like. And another guy said, no, we don't have to go that far. We don't have to go like that, man. We don't have to be like that. And see, but they came into the church with the same mindset. See, that mindset
yes.
has to be left at the door. Leave it outside the front door.
Yes.
You
yes.
are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have
yes.
passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If we don't
yes.
get rid of that old mindset, we'll never be able to pick up the new mindset that God wants to give us, that all the old things have passed away. We're not the same person we used to be, Reverend Bishop. We're not
yes,
the same person. We look the same. We look the same. Our flesh, our legs, our head, everything look the same. But we're not the same. The inside man has been changed. That's why we're praising
yes.
him. That's why we love to praise
yes.
him, because we change, and we are changing. So thank you so much. I don't know if Apostle wants to come in or Deacon wants to come, whoever wants to say a word, you could. Bishop, you all will be coming tomorrow and Friday, if the Lord say the same. Tomorrow, Evangelist Baxter going to bring the word tomorrow.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, Baxter she
Brown.
Wants. She wants to quit. Baxter Brown going to bring the
Lord.
Word tomorrow.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Yeah.
Glory to God.
Sure.
Our sister is coming back home.
she's going to bring a fire word tomorrow.
Yes.
She's excited.
She's excited
with coming and bringing the word.
Hallelujah.
God is good. Real good.
Yes. Praise the Lord. No, I don't think the pastor was going to say anything today. She's been really under the weather. I don't know, Brother Deacon may come on. If not, it's up to you what you want to do, sir.
Yeah, you can go ahead. Brother Deacon is not saying anything. Just go ahead and pray and close the line up.
Now unto him that is able, keep us from falling, and present us faultless in the presence of his glory, with exceeding joy, the only wise God, through him the power, dominion, strength, and love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Brother Bishop. And Apostle, she will do well. She's going to come out from under the weather. Because really, she's not under the weather. The weather's under her.
Under her.
You know.
Amen.
You know.
Hallelujah.
You know, she's not under the weather. The weather's under her. She's God's servant. She'll come out. And
she's going to come out.
And she's going to kick up some smoke tomorrow. So we thank God for that.
Hallelujah.
Have a blessed day. Get some rest, Bishop. I'm going to lay across and bless you and get some rest right now.
Yeah.
God bless you all. Bye-bye.
You too.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.